I imagine some of you have heard the story of the wise Cherokee elder who told his grandson something very important. He said to his grandson, "Son, in this life, inside of all of us, there are two battling wolves. One is the wolf of evil, and that wolf is devoted to hate, resentment, fear, and inferiority. And the other is the wolf of good, and that wolf is devoted to love and peace and harmony, joy and truth." And the grandson thought about this for a while, kind of mulled it over in his head, and then he said to his grandfather, "But grandfather, which wolf wins?" And the grandfather looked deep into the eyes of the little boy, and he said, "Son, the one that wins is the one you feed." And so, I have to give a little caveat here, and that is, in unity, we understand that we were created in original goodness, made in the image of like and likeness of God, and there is no force of evil inside of us. And yet, sometimes we can resort to error thinking, negativity, and just living from our human consciousness. And that is our unity definition of evil. Now, the new year brings a great opportunity for us to look back and reflect about whether there's anything in our habits that is really feeding evil or error, or whether we are feeding good and truth. Remember, the month of January is named from the Roman god Janus, and he's the two-headed god, the god of gates and passages, the god of beginning and endings. And I guess what I'm really suggesting is that we become a little two-faced this morning, and that we, like Janus, take some time to look back over the past year and just reflect about it while we also look forward to our future. And in this process today, we are going to just think about what old patterns of thinking that might have been programmed into us or unproductive habits we've acquired along the way that we need to embrace in order to just live our ever-unfolding good. In a book that the chaplain studied this year by Jim Rosemergie called The Gathering, it's really a 40-day prayer practice, and one of the prayer practices involves this affirmation: "I willingly release any part of my human self that is a barrier to God." And at first we might think, well, how could anything be a barrier to God? If God is all-powerful and we are inherently good, how can there be barriers? Well, Rosemergie tells the story saying that we go through life like a man or a woman who has a coat with an unimaginable jewel sewed in the lining. And in this jewel, we have everything we need to lead a prosperous, peaceful, and perfect life. But we can be unaware of the treasure we hold. And the problem certainly cannot be with God. We know God is all-loving and is with us and within us always. God is always ready to offer us good and peace and love and harmony and joy. Therefore, we have to admit the problem can be in us. In our human consciousness, we can develop attitudes and beliefs that block our good, sabotage our joy, and keep us from realizing the infinite possibilities of our true nature. And here's the thing. When we build barriers to good, we are building barriers to God. And so the ritual we're going to engage in today is designed to help us release those self-constructed barriers, attitudes, feelings, behaviors, and beliefs that are not aligned with our true identity. Rituals are always an outward symbolic act of something spiritually significant. And when you come to the burning bowl in a few minutes and give that which you are releasing to the fire, you are engaging in an ancient and universal ritual. We talked just a few weeks ago, before Christmas, about the practice of burning frankincense in the early Jerusalem temple in Jesus' day. Remember, we said it was a prayer practice, and the early Hebrews actually believed, first of all, that the smell of the frankincense was pleasing to God. And secondly, they believed that when they watched the smoke rise, the little wisps of smoke carried their prayers upward to heaven. Now today we understand that God is omnipresent. We don't need anything to carry our prayers to God. God is within. And we realize, that the power of this ritual is not to please or appease God. The power of this ritual is to touch our own hearts and souls, to condition our own consciousness. And when you think about it, one of the reasons that the burning bowl is so powerful, I think, is that it appeals to multiple learning modalities. So many of us are visual. That's why a lot of people have liked the PowerPoint and the slides, because you can see something. It helps you remember it. And this is definitely a visual representation of transformation. Because in a few moments, you will be holding a physical piece of paper in your hand, and the moment it disappears, it will be transported to another realm. Very visual representation of it gone from your life. But it's also tactile. It appeals to the kinesthetic. The act of actually holding that piece of paper in your hand, writing something down on it, and just visualizing what you want gone for your life, walking forward, lighting that piece of paper and dropping it into the bowl are all very important symbolic acts of the letting go process. And this ritual, I believe, is a perfect example of the old Chinese proverb, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. And today I would add, we do and we are transformed. Now, one of Jesus' most spectacular miracles might give us some insight about this whole process of releasing what no longer serves us. It's the familiar story, and you all know it, of the raising of Lazarus. You will remember that Lazarus, along with his sisters Mary and Martha, were dear friends of Jesus. And yet, when Jesus received the word of his dear friend's illness, he was about 25 miles away, which in those days would have been a full day's journey to Bethany, but he didn't go immediately. He stayed another 2 days where he was teaching. And by the time he arrived, it was too late, or it appeared to be too late, to save Lazarus. And we'll pick up the story when Jesus actually approaches the tomb in John 11, 38 to 44. Then Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Martha's always the realist, or what she perceives to be real anyway. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, which was the burial custom in those days, and his face wrapped also in cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Well, the message of the miracle, of course, is all about the power and presence of God and the fact that no matter how desperate our outer conditions appear, it is never too late. In God's timing, it's never too late. And when Jesus commands, "Lazarus, come out," all is well. But remember, before this is done, one other feat is required, presumably accomplished by the crowd, and that is rolling away the stone. And these stones that were covered the caves of the tombs were huge. They were just gargantuan. They were huge. It would have taken many men to roll them away. And that act has great significance for our ritual today, because I believe it leads each one of us to ask, what does the stone represent in my life? What is embedded in my consciousness that needs to be rolled away in order for me to live my life fully? Is it an attitude of lack, fear, or worry? Is it the I can't, I'm not smart enough, I'm not lovable enough, I'm not worthy enough? In the book, The Lazarus Blueprint, the Jafalos write, for starters, you need to know right up front that the stone is not another person or situation in your life. It never is. Nor is the stone the illness or the financial collapse or the abusive relationship. The stone is not the situation itself. The stone is something within you. It could be a very strong error belief, an attitude, or a habit. The life that could be yours cannot unfold until this roadblock, this mindset, is removed. And here is the good news. Here is the joyous news. You may not be strong enough to roll away the stone, but Almighty God is. All you have to do is search your heart and mind to identify what the barrier is. It might be lack of forgiveness. It might be resentment toward a person or a situation. It might be a negative memory that haunts you, a habit that is keeping you from expressing all that God is on this earth, a feeling that you are not worthy, thoughts that you are too weak, too ill, too old, too busy, too poor. The thing you choose to release this day might be something with which you have struggled for years. It might be a New Year's resolution that you have made over and over again. But this is the day, this is the year, this is the moment when you can surrender it to a higher power. To know that you are not doing this alone, it is the Christ within who does the work. And once we surrender, we leave the how up to God. When we are focused on the specifics of how, that really comes from ego. It doesn't come from our spiritual selves. And we know that things might seem impossible for us, but with God, all things is possible. So this is the moment to stop the struggle and to let go and let God. Bridget Nicole said, one of the most courageous decisions you will ever make is to finally let go of what is hurting your heart and soul. And so I'd like to ask the prayer chaplains now to give out the slips of paper. And once you receive yours, we're going to give you a little bit of time just to hold it in your hand and to turn within. And in a moment, when everybody has a piece of paper, we will turn into prayer. And we'll follow that by a moment of silence for you to receive inspiration about what you will write. And there are pencils in the pews. If you need an extra pencil, raise your hand. We can probably find some more in empty seats. Raise your hand if you still need a piece of paper. Okay. All right, now just know that at any time during the prayer process that we're about to do, if you absolutely know what it is you want to release, feel free to write it down. But I want to give some time for us to pray and meditate about what that is. And so, if you will now, holding that piece of paper in your hand, close your eyes. Take that deep healing breath and turning within. And just know, recognize in this sacred moment that your feet are resting on holy ground. And God is in the holy temple, not a temple built with bricks and mortar, but the temple within your soul. You are now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, wisdom, and grace. And sweet Spirit, guide each one of us now to discern what needs to be released this day in order for us to better live our lives in love and freedom, in order for us to be your expression on this earth. And I invite you to turn to God now and ask for guidance about what it is you need to release, and do this for a few moments in the silence. And when you are so moved, write a word or short phrase, even draw a picture, that symbolizes in a meaningful way the condition that you wish to release. And when you are ready to prayerfully let go and let God, I invite you to come forward. And as you do so, embrace the truth that the power and presence of God goes before you and prepares your way. Let the reality of that presence fill your very soul. And as you watch your paper go up in flames, just say quietly to yourself, "Amen, and so it is." And when you are finished, return to your seat and just continue your time of prayer and meditation. So come forward when you are ready. Do you have any more slips of paper? Do you have any more slips of paper? Mm-hmm. I didn't get one. Thank you, dear. I just need one. I will. Excuse me. It's okay. And so now, with all the slips of paper that have been released to this bowl, we see that it is empty. They are gone. They are released. Something real and lasting has happened here, not just on this altar, but in the altar in all of our souls. And we are completely transformed, and the year is new. Let us pray. I invite you now to close your eyes, if you haven't already done so. Take that deep, healing breath, just going into that inner sanctuary of your own soul and allowing your heart to fill with gratitude for the unconditional love of God and the strength that is yours through the power of the indwelling Christ to release all that has stood in the way of your ever unfolding good. As the fire transformed the energy contained in your slip of paper into the energy of heat and light, so your denial has released the seeming power of this condition and transformed that power into the purging fire of spirit. Jesus said, "Those who walk by day do not stumble, for they see the light of the world." And knowing now that nature abhors a vacuum, let us fill the space that this release has created. At this moment, know that you are uplifted and made free. Visualize the new you, released from the burden you have been carrying. Visualize the effects of this unfolding in your life, the good it will bring, the difference it makes in your mind and actions. Feel the joy and peace of this new beginning. Next week, we will actually engage in another ritual, which will help you move further into your new identity. But in the meantime, take this affirmation into your heart and soul. This is the year the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I am free and unlimited in this new year. I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. Will you say that with me, please? I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. And so it is, and so we joyfully and gratefully allow it to be. And let's end our time now of prayer by singing and feeling deeply the words of our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.